right, episode 58, next book on this, we'll do this like a prophecy series. I believe there's like 7 books in total. Spend like 100 shekels on them at that event. And this one's called Seasons and Assignments. Know what to do and when to do it. Bethany Hicks, forward by Chris Vallotton. And this one has a picture of an hourglass, and it's got a leaf on top, and then it turns to sand on the bottom. So there you go, Seasons. Yeah, same author from the previous podcast. And let's read the back of it. Have you ever found yourself wondering, what season am I in? That's a funny one. Or asking, what has God called me to do right now? You're not alone. Many believers wrestle with this uncertainty around purpose, timing, and calling, but God never meant for us to walk in confusion. In fact, scriptures highlight the tribe of Issachar as people who understood the times and knew what to do. They didn't just recognize the season, they knew how to respond. Seasons and Assignments is a practical and prophetic guide to help you do the same. Inside, you'll discover tools to help you identify your current season and grace that come with it. Understand the difference between positional permission and prophetic assignment. Discern how to move at God's pace, not too fast, not too slow. Partner with heaven to live with clarity, courage, and effectiveness. This book will empower you to discern the season you're in and recognize the unique assignments God has placed before you right here and right now. And then it has our same profile statement from before. Let's read the context. Introduction. So this is about a 140-page read, so nothing too crazy, not like a Harry Potter brick. And it has 12 chapters. Good stuff. A Time for Everything, Chapter 1. Chapter 2, Signs of the Season. Chapter 3, When Seasons Shift. Chapter 4, Don't Miss Your Moment. Chapter 5, Rest for the Right Season. Chapter 6, Purpose, Plan, and Assignment. Chapter 7, Permission Assignments. Chapter 8, Positional Assignment. Chapter 9, Prophetic Assignments. Chapter 10, Time to Activate. Chapter 11, The Pace of Grace. Chapter 12, Living on Assignment. I feel like the most three most important ones were probably 7 through 9. Permission, Position, and Prophetic. And all the other ones are some rendition of that. There's the Ford. There's an introduction. I guess we'll read the introduction. I want to see this person's, we should probably want to look at how they perceive things. Have you ever had the right dream, but at the wrong time? Or felt stirred by a calling only to run straight into what felt like a closed door? That doesn't mean you've missed it. You're likely just between an assignment from God and the right season for its fulfillment. That tension between calling and timing is something I've wrestled with as well. A few years ago, the Lord began to unlock something in my thinking and change how I understood times, seasons altogether. I grew up assuming the Hebrew feasts were just part of the Old Covenant. They were something ancient and beautiful, sure, but no longer necessary for believers today. They were like spiritual artifacts that were important back then, but no longer really relevant now. But then something shifted. A few years ago, I began to learn that God actually still moves according to his own calendar. He's not attuned to our Gregorian calendars, nor our man-made schedules. God established a calendar long before any nation had a system. It's a rhythm rooted in divine appointments, or as scripture calls them, Madim. Mehudim are set times on heaven's calendar when God meets with his people in special ways. Let me give you a few examples from the Hebrew calendar that rocked me. Passover. Have you ever considered that Jesus could have been crucified on any day of the year? At 365 days, he just happened to die on Passover. This was the exact day that the Israelites had commemorated for generations as they remember the blood of the Lamb that protected them from their death. Why was Jesus crucified on that day? Because he is the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. It wasn't a coincidence, it was choreographed. A prophetic convergence where heaven's timing brought earth's redemption. Feast of the First Fruits. Likewise, Jesus didn't rise from the dead on any random Sunday. He rose on the Feast of First Fruits, which was the day where Israel would bring the first best of their harvest to honor God as the source of their provision. Why did he choose to rise on this day? Because he is the first fruits of our new creation. His resurrection wasn't just victory, it's a prophetic declaration that a new kind of life has begun and more would follow. I gotta take a moment here. I appreciate... There's one thing I know about people with this prophecy gift is that they have the ability to notice things that people don't generally notice or skim past or think is kind of irrelevant. So I think that's a pretty cool ability. But, because as you can see, these things were not coincidental. Or you can just kind of skim over. Pentecost. Then there's Pentecost. Under the Old Covenant, Pentecost marked a celebration of what of the wheat harvest, a feast of provision and abundance. So what does God do on the same appointed day? He pours out the Holy Spirit, the greatest provision we've ever been given. Not by grain, but grace. Not food, but fire. Yeah, she's got a way of words. The outpouring of angels happened on a day. It happened on the day of Pentecost. Heaven was once again confirming its alignment with appointed time. God isn't just the author of time. He honors the rhythm of time. He himself sets it in place. He chooses those moments because they were already on his calendar. So why does this matter?
Because God... excuse me.
I do this late at night. Because God hasn't stopped moving in time and season. He hasn't abandoned his rhythms. And he's not just intentionally with global history. He's intentional with your story too. The same God who appointed the day of Jesus' death, resurrection, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has appointed seasons in your life. He is still a God of time and assignments and divine appointment. If he was that precise about Jesus' crucifixion at Passover, his resurrection, and the outpouring of the Spirit in Pentecost, don't you think he's just as precise about what he did in your life? Today, be encouraged that he hasn't missed your window. He hasn't forgotten your timeline. He's just working within a rhythm that's bigger than what you can see right now. Sometimes we miss what God is doing because we don't realize he's working on a different calendar than the one hanging on our wall. We're looking at dates, but he's marking seasons. When you start to recognize that he's not just a redeemer of people, but of the times and seasons, you begin to trust his process differently. The keys of Ishtar. There's one more key I wanted us to catch as it relates to this topic, and it's hidden within the lesser known Israelite tribe of Issachar. Issachar wasn't the flashiest tribe. It didn't have the archery skills of Benjamin or the royal lineage of Judah. Judah's about praise. But they carried something the other tribes deeply needed in order to be in step with God, discernment. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, they describe like this, from Issachar, a man who understood the times and knew what Israelite should do. That was their superpower. They didn't just read the signs of the times. They responded with wisdom. They didn't just know what God was doing. They step into their assignment accordingly. There's something magnetic about a person who knows their season. You can feel it. There is a groundedness in how they live, a quiet clarity, a confidence that isn't striving but certain. Isn't striving but certain. That's what made the sons of Issachar so influential. Their seasonal awareness made them strategic partners not only with God, but also with the people around them. That's what this book is all about. It's an invitation to discover how God moves in the times and seasons and how to recognize the assignments he's given you and how to walk at the pace of grace, which is the rhythm of heaven and that refreshes rather than depletes you. If you ever felt stuck, delayed, or unsure how to move forward in what God called you to do, you're in the right place. My heart is to help you get unstuck, not by pushing harder, but by discerning better. God has already said yes. Now it's your turn to step into the season assignment he's prepared. Let's begin. All right. Chapter 1, The Time for Everything. Life moves in the rhythms, not random moments. These rhythms are God-designed time for growing, building, resting, or launching. When you learn to recognize what season you're in, things start to make more sense. You stop forcing things that aren't ready and start moving with God instead of against him. In this chapter, you're going to explore how to tell what time of season you're in with God and why that matters. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 puts in simply but powerful, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. God moves through both time and season. While they're connected, they are not the same. Oh, let's find out. It seizes a broader stretch of time, a phase of life that often carries a certain focus, grace, and assignment. A time, on the other hand, is a specific appointed moment inside the season, inside that season, when something is meant to shift, start, stop, or be fulfilled. Then like this, you might be in a season of preparation that you can feel like hiddenness, where God is developing something in you, building foundation, and inviting you into faithfulness, even when no one is watching. But then comes a time to step out when a specific opportunity opens, a door swings opens, and you sense the Spirit say now. That is the moment, your time, divinely appointed, filled with grace, carries away for your next step. You could say that for everything. There is a right time, and within that time, a right thing to do. A year ago, when my kids were elementary school, I began to feel a strong call to the nations. I sensed God called me to greater impact, to something beyond that I was currently experiencing, but I was also a mother raising three young children, and I felt the tension between my stay-at-home mom season and my future calling. I wanted to go, I wanted to step out, but I also wanted to be present with my children who needed me. I remember sitting with a mentor and pouring out my heart. How do I balance this? I asked. I feel called to do more, but I also know I'm supposed to be present with my kids. She looked at me and simply said, Bethany, you're in the season of sometimes it can and sometimes it can't. That one phrase changed everything. I realized it might be the right calling, but it wasn't the right season. Well, there you go. It was the right assignment, but the wrong season for it to manifest. The awareness gave me permission to stop striving ahead of God and instead learn to the grace and peace He had in me for the present. But here's the thing, seasons change. As my kids grew older, my capacity to step into more what I had since for years naturally expanded. When my oldest got his driver's license, he could help take his sister to school and run errands, and my daily responsibilities began to shift. As my children became more independent, I had more space and more grace to say yes to things I couldn't before. I began to go on a short-term mission trip or speak at a weekend conferences, knowing my children were well taken care of and I didn't need my help with their physical needs as much. It was as if their growing independence gave me more rope to run with. I had more freedom to explore new facets of my assignments without losing the heart connection at home. The more they stepped into who they were becoming, the more space I had to step into who I was becoming too. A few years later, I received a prophetic word from an established prophet who had a vision for me walking up to an amplifier. He said, about 3 to 4 years times, I see you stepping up to this amplifier. You are the one woman God is raising up to be a voice for this generation. The words was deeply encouraging. I could easily gotten distracted by what I would do instead of when I would do it. But because I learned to discern times and seasons, the first thing I said to myself, what happens in about 3 years? And then hit me. My youngest child would graduate high school in 3 years. The word confirmed what I already begun to sense. Another season shift was coming. I realized that in a few years' time, my home life would change. I had the capacity to embrace a new season, a new assignment. Without an understanding of how this works, I might have tried to rush things into fulfillment, only to face closed doors of unnecessary frustration. But knowing a ship was coming, I could fully embrace the season. I was in a while also preparing for what was ahead. Every time has a purpose. Every season has an assignment tied to it. When we understand that, we move in step with the pace and power of God. Maybe you're in a waiting season and are feeling the tension between where you are and where God is calling you. Or like Abraham, who had a word to go but no map. Maybe you sense a shift coming but aren't sure what it means. We all walk through seasons like that because often God is stretching our faith before we step into our promise. But be encouraged today that God has not forgotten your call, and the timing of your assignment is just as important as the assignment itself. If you step out too early, you might find yourself striving, trying to make things happen before the pieces are in place. If you wait too long, you might miss the opportunity that's only available during the window of time. The goal is to learn to recognize your season so that you can be in the right place at the right time. To help us do that, let's take a close look at what the Bible says about time. Chronos versus Kairos time. I appreciate you going to the words. Notice something that too about people with that gift of prophecy is that they take the time to extrapolate the meaning of words. Most people, it's much easier just to read a word and assume what it means based upon the context, which isn't bad, but context alone is not enough to extrapolate a text or to find a derived deeper meaning. I wish it was that simple, but unfortunately, no. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, the word time and season shows us how God's specific moments and periods for time of different events. These ideas are similar to the Greek word chronos and kairos in the New Testament. Chronos means regular, ongoing time, such as minutes and hours, while kairos refers to an appointed moment. It's funny how even in the Greek we got two different renditions of time. When God does something significant, kairos is the intersection of divine purpose and human interaction. For example, when God promised Abraham and Sarah a son, it didn't happen right away. Years, chronos, pause, and their faith was tested. But at the appointed time, kairos, Sarah was conceived, fulfilling the promise exactly what God intended. His time wasn't delayed, it was deliberate. Joseph is another powerful example. As a young man, he received a dream of leadership and endured betrayal, slavery, and prison before stepping into destiny. Scripture tells us that until the time came for his words to be fulfilled, the Lord tested him. The waiting wasn't wasted, it was preparation. When the right time arrived, Joseph moved from the prison to the palace in one day, stepping into God's ordained assignment. Even Jesus moved on a divine schedule. When his mother asked him to perform his first miracle, he said, My hour has not yet come. When urged by his brothers to go public, he said, time has not yet fully come. Yet when the hour of his crucifixion came, he declared, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus lived in complete harmony with the Father's timing. He wasn't rushed by pressure or people's expectations or even the expectations of his own family. He never hurried, yet he accomplished everything he was sent to do. Many believers struggle, not because they lack calling, but because they don't understand their current season or don't know how to respond to it. So let us talk about the question that probably already rising in your hearts. How do I recognize my season? I purpose that just as God moves through the four natural seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter, these seasons provide a prophetic key of understanding the seasons of our own life. While the metaphor of the four seasons might seem a bit overused, I appreciate this woman's ability to discern, or should I say read the room. I gave her that. There's still deep and powerful wisdom in it. Why? Because of all the God's creation reflects his nature. Because all of God's creation reflects his nature. I read that twice, but I was like, well, we're in a fallen world, so I wonder how much of it does truly reflect? Maybe Earth fell? I don't know. That's an interesting question. Where do you draw the line? Did sin affect the universe or just Earth? Hard to say. Well, what we see in the nature often mirrors what's happening in spiritual. Scripture affirms this by saying that nature comes first in spiritual. Patterns in creation can also reveal patterns in God, how God works in our lives. Therefore, the seasons we see in the nature can give us prophetic clues about the seasons of our life. What follows isn't a formula, but I hope it serves as a helpful framework for identifying your season. And while these seasonal rhythms are not the only indicators of your time and assignment, it is a good place to start. In chapters ahead, we'll explore other indicators that might be speaking to your times and season. Now let's take a look at each of the following seasons and what they might be speaking to your life. Fall, a season of harvest, reflection, and transition. Okay, like the leaves falling? No, it's season of harvest, okay. Fall is a season where things come full circle. You start to see the fruits of what you faithfully sowed in the past, but it's not just about reward, it's also about release. Just like the leaves begin to fall. Okay, there it is. I was like, I'm pretty sure we call it fall because of that. I was like, harvest? There's an invitation to let go what no longer fits where you're going. Signs of fall season includes your taste in the fruits of past obedience. In the places where you steward well, breakthroughs, open doors, and assignments, you're reflecting more by assessing what's working, what's not, and what's next. You may feel a call to simply by laying some things down, not out of failure, but in completion. There's often a quiet sense of knowing that the thing that change is coming and you're preparing for it in both heart and action. Gratitude is the right response as you see and celebrate how far you've come. That's not bad. Fall teaches us that maturity isn't always about adding more, but knowing what to let go. That's a good phrase. Winter, a season of rest, hindrance, and internal renewal. Winter seasons can feel quiet or even barren on the surface, but don't be fooled. This is often one of the most transformative times for us to calibrate to heaven's pace. It's a season for slowing down, healing, resting, and allowing God to do deep, unseen work. Signs of winters include you're less focused on producing and more on restoring and resting. Interesting. There's a pull to retreat from the noise and recenter your heart when life feels quieter on the top side. He often is doing his deepest work on the inside. Now I have to pause on this. See, what I've noticed from my own experience is we can switch seasons within a week. 1 week, you are getting things done. Next week, I won't say next week, but I'll say like a Sunday, you're like chilling. Or maybe you use some PTO and just chill for a day or two, maybe even 3 days, right? So I just think it's interesting that I think the human experience is more intricate than that. I'm not sure if that was for somebody, but you get the idea. It's like it's really easy to vacillate between the two. I don't think people just go 80 miles an hour for like 8 years straight. I think there are moments where, as Psalm 23 says, he makes me lie down still while there will be moments where you're just like, I need to recharge. But I digress. You may feel hidden or even pause, but like a baby being formed in a mother's womb, God is stirring something beneath the surface. Vision starts to stir again, even if it's still fuzzy. You're preparing eternally for what's coming next, setting the foundation for a new life purpose or assignment. Setting the foundation. You have a sense that God is inviting you to be recreated through recreation. Okay, that was an interesting phrase. Sometimes God uses play to restore what pressure has worn down. When my children were young, we lived in the mountains. Every time a blizzard rolled in, the school was canceled. I would dread the workload that came with a feet of snow while they would burst with excitement, throw on their snowsuits, and run outside of the play. Winter was their favorite time of the year. What looked like extra work to me, shoveling snow and braving the cold, felt like Christmas morning to them, a snow day full of laughter and adventure and refreshing joy. When we fully embraced the delighting in Him, we were not wasting time. We're allowing God to renew us from the inside. A winter season is never a punishment, but it's often time for necessary preparation to sustain what God has for you in the future. Spring, a season of new beginnings, fresh vision, and seed planting. Spring is when you start to feel the first stirrings of something new. There's fresh energy, hope, and the sense that things are starting to move again. It's a time to plant, to say yes, and to believe again. Signs of spring seasons include new opportunities are showing up relationally, vocationally, and spiritually. There's a sense of hope rising and the expectation of good things ahead, even if you don't fully know what's next. You're beginning new projects, ideas, assignments, or relationships. You're nurturing what may feel small but is full of promise. You find yourself dreaming with God and see possibilities you hadn't considered before, or feel excited about what's ahead. Spring reminds us that God still makes all things new. Don't forget that even the mighty oak tree starts as an acorn. Small seeds matter. Summer, a season of growth and productivity and stewardship. In the summer, things are in full bloom. It's time for movement, maturing, and maintaining the ground you've gained. But don't mistake fruitfulness for ease. Summer takes energy and intentionality. Signs of summer include you're in the thick of growth and progress. This is a high output season. The seed you planted in the springs are now visibly maturing. You're tending the relationships, responsibilities, and assignments that have been entrusted to you. There is beauty and joy, but also call to stay diligent and faithful. You are preparing for future harvest by staying steady now. Summer reminds us that growth isn't automatic, it's steward. Our consistency now prepares us for what's coming. Different seasons for different assignments. In reflecting over the different types of seasons, we must remember that not every area of our lives will be in the same season at the same time. And there it is. So I was right about that. I was like, that's interesting because it seems like different parts of your life can be in different seasons. So it's not a universal one. For example, right now I'm headed out of a summer season with my children. My youngest has just graduated high school, and that entire season of raising children in the day-to-day way is coming to a close. This next phase of my being a mom is a fall season. It looks like letting go of old routines, enjoying the beauty of who they are now, and connecting with them in new ways as they begin to walk into adulthood. At the same time, my ministry feels like it's in the summer season. What was plenty in the past is now growing strong, and there are a real sense of momentum and forward movement. You might relate. Maybe your friendships are flourishing like a summer season and deep connections, while you while your work feels more like a springtime of beginnings of new things and dreaming forward. This isn't a contradiction. It's beautiful, layered ways that God leads us in every area of our lives. Remember, your times are in His hands. He's both the author and the finisher, and He delights in making the path clear for those who trust in Him. You don't have to figure it all out. You just have to stay in step to the best of your abilities and His. Season reflection. Use these questions as a way to lean in and dialogue with the Lord as you read. Okay, so that's kind of cool. So this makes it a little bit more personal. So I'll just go to step chapter 2 now. Signs of the season. Thought we just did that, but okay. Chapter 2. One of the most powerful ways to discern what season you're in is to take a look at the fruit it's producing in your life. Every God-appointed season carries specific benefits that can act as a clue in helping you recognize the grace that is available to you right now. Sometimes we want to know what's next when God is asking us to become present in what is. For example, have you ever met someone who just seemed to be in their flow? They're not striving, not second guessing, not trying to be everywhere at once. There's a quiet assurance about them, like they know where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing. That's the power of knowing your current season. When you're in the right season, you gain clarity on what matters most. It's like a spiritual compass that points true north, allowing you to prioritize with confidence and live strategically instead of reactively. In 2019, that's 7 years ago, I received a prophetic word from an established apostolic prophetic voice. Oh my goodness, that was a mouthful. He didn't say much, just one word repeated 7 times. Bill, 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 Bill. Okay, the repetition stuck to me. It felt like a divine echo reverberating through every corner of my life. That's simple, but potent word clarified my season for me. It was not a season to wander or wonder. It was a season to build, because that word had the courage and permission to say yes to the things in line with the building and to say no to the things that, while good, didn't carry grace for me in that season. That's the gift of seasonal awareness. It teaches you how to spend your time, energy, and resources in alignment with heaven. When you live aligned, your life begins to flow with purpose. The river banks, times and season. Think of a time and season as the two banks of a river. What happens when a river doesn't have any banks? Essentially a flood that becomes a chaotic, directionless, and destructive. But when it flows within the boundaries created by its banks, it becomes a powerful, life-giving force moving towards a destination. A great example of this is the Mississippi River. For years, it would overflow unpredictably, wiping out farms, flooding entire towns, and causing widespread devastation. This river obviously had no lack of power, but it was lacking structure. It had no boundaries. But once engineers began building levees and channels to guide its flow, everything changed. The same river that once destroyed now became a source of life. It irrigates farmlands and fuels trade, connected cities, and brought provision instead of disaster. Why? Because its strength was focused. Its power had direction. That exactly what happens when you know your season. Your energy doesn't get scattered. You stop running after everything and start walking into the unique things God has already graced you for right now. You become like that river, strong, steady, and life-giving. Not because you're doing more, but because you're flowing in alignment with your right season and assignment. Here's a personal practical example of what this can look like. I can run a couple of half marathons in my life. Okay, to be honest, my running style was more what I call slogging. A slow jog, but I still train. That season of training shaped everything about how I live, what I ate, when I rested, how far I ran. Why? Because I had a clear goal or assignment, if you will, and the season I was in required boundaries to help me reach it. I wasn't eating donuts at midnight or sleeping on training days. I adjusted my life around the season of training I was in. Proverbs 29:18. Put it this way: where there is no vision, the people perish. Sheesh. I remember that one. You don't hear that often. In other words, when we lose sight of what God is doing right now, we are directionless. My vision in that season was to run a race, and that the clarity shaped my life. Without that vision, I would not have that motivation to drive or the discipline to stay focused. I would never have gotten off the couch and pushed myself through that kind of training without the boundaries that the vision created. Without the boundaries that vision created. In the same way, when we don't understand the seasons we're in, we end up spending our energy in all the wrong places. Your current season functions the same way. If you're in the building season, then build. If you're in the resting season, then rest. If you're in the harvest, gather. But don't try to harvest when it's time to plant. You'll wear yourself out and wonder why the results don't match the effort. Recognizing the grace of the seasons. Each season has a different kind of grace and energy. In a sowing season, your focus is investment, building relationships, laying foundations, showing up in unseen places. This might look like long hours or behind-the-scene work. In the sowing season, this might look like long hours behind-the-scene work, any years of faithfulness or consistent obedience with little recognition. But if you expect harvest results in the sowing season, you'll be disappointed and tempted to give up. Likewise, if you're in a harvest season but keep starting new projects, you might miss the reward of what you've already labored to grow. Effectiveness comes when we align our efforts with the grace God has given for the current season's assignment. In addition to the word I personally received in 2019, our team as a prophetic company received an almost identical prophetic word, but the pattern was different. Build, 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 build. This time the prophet said it 5 times. Now, if you receive a prophetic word like that, you know repetition matters. We recognize God was putting exclamation points on our assignment. The word shaped everything for us. It was confirmation. We were in a building season, building teams, building communities, building capacity. So when new opportunities came, and some of them were quite honoring, we sought to ask, does this align with our current season? The answer was no. We gave ourselves permission to decline, even if it looked exciting on the outside. Jesus and Paul saying no. Saying no is hard, especially for those who love to serve, who carry a gift of mercy, or who has a strong sense of responsibility. But knowing when to say no is key strategically in your season, and it means learning to say no with confidence, not guilt. If Jesus had boundaries, so can we. So often we view boundaries within our assignment or season or as limiting or are limiting our destiny. However, they can shape our priorities and increase our impact, making us more effective in what we're meant to do. When we recognize that boundaries are part of our prophetic design, we begin to see that differently. Take the moment in Matthew 15 when a desperate schizophrenian woman came to Jesus begging him to heal her. Oh my goodness, I did not mean to say that. Take the moment in Matthew 15 when a desperate schizophrenian woman, I butchered that word, my goodness. Say mental diseases so many times, you think every word that starts with an S is that. Came to Jesus begging him to heal our demon-possessed child. Jesus' response was surprising and even a little jarring to our modern ears. I was only sent to the lost sheep house of Israel. That wasn't cold-hearted brush off, it was clarity. Jesus wasn't being dismissive, he was being obedient to his current season. His assignment at the time was specific ministry to Israel. He was walking a precise window of prophetic timing. He wasn't moved by need. He was moved by faith and what the Father was doing in that moment. It is so key that Jesus never let human need determine his pace. He let the Father's voice determine his direction. Of course, we know the story doesn't end there. The woman pressed in, responded in faith, and Jesus marveled. Her daughter is healed, but the lesson remains. Jesus operated within the clear boundaries because he understood his assignment. He didn't chase every opportunity. He didn't answer every request. He stayed in step with his seated and assignment. If Jesus, who had the fullness of compassion, wisdom, and power, still said no, not yet based on divine timing, then we certainly have permission to do the same. Paul's boundaries. And then there's Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Paul knew that who he was and who he wasn't. He wasn't trying to be an inerrant teacher to everyone everywhere. He wasn't chasing platforms or opportunities to expand his reach for personal validation. I think that's worth saying. He understood that assignment as an apostle and teacher was not to the Jews but the Gentiles, and that clarity shaped everything. It influenced who he poured into, how he spent his time, and what he gave himself to. I love the way Chris Voloton describes this idea. Your gift works everywhere on everyone, but it works best somewhere on someone. Paul, no to the Jews wasn't a rejection, but a redirection to the Gentiles. He didn't say yes to every door because he wasn't called to every room. Understanding this present season of assignment allows Paul to be more effective in the places that with the people it matters most. Clarity doesn't limit you, it frees you. It frees you from obligation, it frees you from comparison, it frees you from striving. Knowing what you're called to in the present season and that you're not isn't selfish, it's strategic. Boundaries don't keep you from more, they position you for what's yours. Well, that's worth pausing on. This is good stuff. Recently, a friend of mine was offered the incredible opportunity to lead a large, thriving church. Sheesh! It was the kind of role many would leap into without hesitation. But what did my friend do? He thanked them, honored them, and said no. Why? Because he knows his current assignment is building his company. When you know your season, you don't have to be confused by other people's favor towards you. You can say yes to what God has given you and no to what he has not. One of the things we often forget is that not every good thing is a God thing for us. There are plenty of amazing opportunities out there, but if we don't learn to filter them through our current season and assignment, we will wear ourselves out trying to be faithful to things God never asked us to do. Well, there you go. I think we can pause on that. Selah. Not every good thing is a God thing. And you can wear yourself out. Whew. Need to reflect on that one for a little bit. Because if you know, if you go to a church, if it's a little church, small church, you probably have a lot of things to do. If it's a big church, there's still a lot of things, but it's just not as, like, annoying because there's so many other people that can take the brunt of it. But I'm sure if you drive around your local whatever area you're at, you've probably seen all types of things where people can use volunteer. Volunteers are nothing more but a free body, I mean, honestly. Sometimes I think real worship, if you're a type A type of person, is just to chill, just to relax. That's how I worship. I gotta sleep. It's some Psalms 23 level stuff, man. People like to quote the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He leads me. You know, I'm like, that part that gets me is the part where it says he maketh me lie down in still waters, right? He makes you rest. I'm like, we're living in a day and age where, then they say the average American works like five times as hard as everywhere else. It's like, my goodness. I'm not saying that because we actually work hard. It just makes you think like we work hard. Ask any postal employee. They work 7 days straight. You know, they don't, if some jobs, they don't even have the manpower to execute people's SDOs, man. Just work until their faces fall off. So definitely something to think about, that it is not a sin to chill. Now, you don't want to chill too much. Obviously, there's a point where you get your E to full and you gotta start moving somewhere again, but nevertheless, no reason to break yourself down. That would be counterintuitive. Like working at the gym and then you break your arm mid bench press, you know, it's like, okay, well now we can't do anything. And the prophetic company, we talk a lot about this. We receive so many incredible invitations, events, collaborations, conferences, but one of our first questions is always, does this fit the season we're assigned in? If it doesn't, we bless it and we say no. If we do it without guilt because we know that we've called to build it. In the kingdom, boundaries aren't restrictions, they're blueprints for fruitfulness. So if you're struggling to say no, here's a reminder. Even Jesus and Paul said no, not out of limitation, but out of alignment with this season of assignment. Saying no doesn't mean you're not loving. It means you're listening. Listening to the voice of the Father who sees the bigger picture of your season, your calling, your assignment. Season reflections. How do you know if you're living in alignment with your current season? Here are some indicators to help you discern your walk into the grace that God has provided or whether it might be time to realign. Actually, I'll go to the first chapter and I'll read those for your hearing. Use these questions. Okay, so chapter 1, let's do this one. Use these questions as a way to learn in the dialogue with the Lord about where you're at right now. Start by choosing one of the areas of your life. Allow the Lord to highlight what you're doing. If you want to explore another area, just come back. Okay, fine. Fall. A season of harvest, reflection, and transition. What feels complete in this season, even if it's still prospering feels complete. Question two, what am I sensing subtle shifts or nudge towards change? Okay. Winter, where do I sense a pull toward rest rather than productivity? What rhythms of rest, recreation, or creativity is God using to restore joy in me? Sleep? Remember that? That was an easy one. Got him. Spring, where is fresh hope or energy rising, even if I don't fully understand it yet? Fresh hope, huh? Let's say the jail ministry. What seeds am I called to plant now that could bear fruit later? Let's say Bible studies. Talks. What area of my life are growing, flourishing right now? Let's say relationships. Oh, this is summer. Where do I feel grace to carry momentum, take action, and maintain consistency? Carry momentum, take action. Podcast. Alright, next one. So this is for chapter 2. First question. You feel clarity about what matters most and what to say yes and no to? Let's say yes sometimes. Yeah. You're not chasing every opportunity, just the ones aligned with your current call. Yeah. That's a lot. You have the grace and energy to sustain your work. The grace and energy and commitments. Let's say, yep. Yeah. Your boundaries feel life-giving rather than restrictive. Yeah. This is dumb. I don't feel like answering these. You can say no without guilt because you understand your assignment. Yes. You're experiencing a sense of flow rather than striving or burnout. Interesting. A sense of flow. I would keep hearing that word, the flow state. Very strange. You see fruit consistent with your season, growth in sowing, momentum in building, or results in harvesting. You feel pulled in. Oh, the indicators might be out of season. You feel pulled in too many directions and lack clarity. You're constantly fatigued, stressed, you're burned out. You say yes to things mainly out of guilt. Sheesh. What the hell? You expect harvest level results in a sowing season. You feel the need to do everything or please everyone. Gross. I don't like you that much. You find it hard to say no even when something doesn't resonate with your calling. My goodness. What? Well, with that gets us to chapter 3, but hopefully you like that book. She's got some cool phrases and vernacular, but I will end with this, a thought. You know, currently I do teammates. I do this podcast, do some church events. I do jail ministry. I have an iota of real estate because I deal with people as well, and it'd be nice. And all these activities, and now I'm kind of interested in doing the a nonprofit for diabetic kiddos. But you know, I kind of realize in all these things, ironically, help me, right? These aren't like noble ambitions. They're noble, yes, but there's also self-interest. You know, I'm gonna have kids one day, so you probably want to know how to work with kids, do all this church stuff because you want to have those relationships, do the jail ministry because you never know who might come down the pipe and help out all of us. So, and all these things, the diabetic one, I'm diabetic, so I guess my advice to you would be, whatever you're doing, make sure that it helps you in all vectors of your life, past, present, and future. past, so you can look back at it for encouragement. Present, because, well, it's obviously helping you. And future, it's going to help you later tenfold. If your actions are doing that, I say keep doing it. If it doesn't, I have to question the purpose of it. It just doesn't really add up to do things in that nature or capacity, especially because each one usually revolves around in a unique way. With that, that ends the episode. Thanks for being here. Hopefully you learned something, and if not, well, I don't know, dislike the video and share it with a friend you hate. You have a blessed day, and talk to you later. Deuces.